Hey everybody, this is DJ Q for the Golf News Net Radio Network. We now return you to Jay's Place, already in progress.
Alright, thank you DJ Q. Once again, he is the best producer in the business back there behind the glass. And I would be nothing without him and without Ryan Ballengee of the Golf News Network. I am Jay Flemma, and you're listening to Jay's Place on the Golf News Net Radio Network. Jay's Place is brought to you by JB's Best Hot Sauce. It's delicious, it's nutritious, it's good on hips, lips, and fingertips. It's out of this world, it's on every table in the Deep South. And right now, it could be on Joe Wilczynski's table because our guest on the Jay's Place show gets a chance to win a bottle of JB's Best Hot Sauce if he gets the trivia question right. All right, Joe, are you ready for your trivia questions?
I am ready.
All right. In 1973, at Canterbury Golf Club in Cleveland, Ohio, Jack Nicklaus won his 14th major championship. Whose record did he break? I'll repeat the question. In 1973, at the PGA Championship at Canterbury Golf Club in Cleveland, Ohio, Jack Nicklaus won his 14th major championship. Whose major championship record did he break?
I'm going to have to say Arnold Palmer.
Oh, we're looking for Ben Hogan.
Oh, geez. You got me.
You pretty good guess. Palmer did win 8 majors.
Okay.
4 Masters, sorry, 7. 4 Masters, 2 Open Championships, and 1 U.S. Open in 1960 at Cherry Hills. Well, all right. Well, you'll still get to taste some of the hot sauce because you live in my town, and, you know, one day after practice when we all go over to Lucan's, I'll bring it in and we can slather it on some wings or some pizza or something.
Sounds good.
While we're on the topic of the U.S. Open, tell us a little bit about your thoughts about both the tournament and about Erin Hills Golf Club.
I thought the golf course was simply fantastic as a golf fan. But one thing I was a little dismayed about is the lack of people were saying they're not going to watch the U.S. Open. I said, are you kidding me? This is the U.S. Open. These are the best players in the country. We have some local players that played in this for years. And, yes, we don't have the criteria of the older players that are competing, but we have tremendous amount of younger players coming up to want to make a name for themselves. And I found the U.S. Open just a simply difficult, struggling golf course. And I found the last day was really, really exciting. I thought it was an awesome Open, and representing the United States, and it's just amazing of talent that's coming up in our field today. I think I'm proud of that. I think that's just amazing, and how well conditioned and how well these guys can hit the ball and play against each other and compete against each other. I thought that was simply fantastic.
Now, you mentioned an important point. Most of the golf writers were a little bit dismayed because after Friday, it looked highly likely that we were going to get yet another first-time winner for the 7th consecutive major because the top 18 names on the leaderboard, none of them had won a major. You had to go all the way down to T19 to Sergio Garcia and I believe Adam Scott and Ernie Els. Now, as a golf writer, you know, we kind of like to write about the guys that have won before. You know, because it's a good story and it builds upon the story that they've already, you know, established. But what did you as a golf fan think of watching 16 new guys battle it out over the weekend?
I thought that was exciting. I'm a huge Phil Mickelson fan, and I realize he didn't play the Russians for personal reasons. And that's because I grew up with him in my era, and I'm just a huge fan of his. But I'm excited about these new players coming up. trying to make a name for themselves like all the previous players that I grew up with had done, the Tiger Woods and the Jacks and everybody else. But I, you know, you got to give these guys a chance. They're highly competitive. They're strong physical shape. And we have to support them. And I thought it was exciting. Yes, we may not know their names, but we will eventually. We will eventually, because they'll be competing and winning more tournaments.
I think that Brooks Koepka, he looked a lot like Hale Irwin to me. He may win another U.S. Open in particular. And some of those names that we've seen come up, particularly Henrik Stenson, you know, he's competed so well in last year's PGA Championship. He won a silver medal in the Olympics. And he will defend his title at Royal Birkdale. And it was one of the greatest moments in golf history last year at the Open Championship in June when Stenson fired that 63 to edge Phil Mickelson by two shots. One of the things that stood out for me when you watched the telecast is that the fans there were rooting for every shot, and every time it was a good stroke, it was like airplanes going off in every direction. And one of the announcers said, "Phil is loved wherever he plays, and Stenson is, you know, one of the great players of the European Tour and also of our tour as well." You know, so when you said how much you loved Phil, I think that that's universal. Phil is our generation's Arnie. Everybody loves him. Everybody respects him. You know, and he's just such a great ambassador for the game. Now, meanwhile, Henrik Stenson, he looked a lot to me like either Iron Byron or Ben Hogan with that perfect swing. And he will defend his title as we approach Royal Birkdale in a couple of weeks. Now, as an ordinary golf fan, how well-versed are you in the Open Championship, and how much did you watch it through the years, as opposed to, say, the Masters or the U.S. Open or the PGA?
I love watching the British Open because it's that linked types of golf course, and it's a different type of playing compared to the perfect conditions, so-called perfect conditions that we have in the United States, which is a totally different golf game that these guys have got to come up with. And it's just, I love that type of challenge in a golf game where you have to change your whole complexity of the shot because we're not hitting the soft fairways and the greens are running quickly, you know what I mean? And so I love watching the British Open, and I'm a big British Open, you know, fan. So that's my take on it, because it's a whole different game than what we play here, in my opinion.
I'm happy to say that we're starting in golf course architecture circles to move further towards that. We're seeing a lot more of the fast and firm conditions, which brings in the ground game. We're seeing a lot more of the brownish color and texture to both the fairways and the roughs. The term of art is biscuit brown is what it's called. And so this, we're in what's called the second golden age of golf course architecture. And happily, we're going back to all of the principles that we studied at courses, like Birkdale, like St. Andrews, like Troon. Now, Birkdale is unique because it is the most American of the Open Championship Rota courses. The fairways are the flattest, even though they are in between some of the most dynamic, you know, heaving dunescape that any of the Open Championship courses are played on. In a way, those dunes are terrific for the spectators because they can sit on them and line the fairways, much like they do at Sawgrass for the TPC. You know, most people don't know this, but despite the fact there's all that water at Sawgrass, it was intended to play like a UK links, or at least, you know, in some fashion. So it's going to be a great week. Who in particular are you going to be rooting for besides Phil during Open Championship week?
Well, I'm going to have to root for the leader of the U.S. Open, Koepka. I think he's just got the game, and the way he's playing. That's that's my pick right now. I'm not an expert of any means. I will be pushing for Phil. I know, you know, that might be a – I will be pushing for Phil because I think this course may, you know, fit his game a bit. I do like Jordan a bit too, but, you know, I do like Sergio. So there's a couple players, two or three or four players that I like. I think Sergio should play this course well. So that's who I'm pushing for.
And we also shouldn't rule out the guy who's actually the defending champion at Birkdale, because he's been on a bit of a resurgence, Padraig Harrington, especially if the conditions are tough. You'll recall when we were there in 08, the tournament opened with one of the worst storms they ever had to play in. I don't remember who the player was, but he came into the clubhouse and he said, "I wouldn't take my mother-in-law out in this weather."
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Joe, it's been fantastic to have you on the show. Thank you so much for coming on. And break a leg out there. That's a compliment. Out there on the race course on Sunday. I hope you guys have a great Boilermaker.
Oh, I appreciate it. And thanks so much for having me. I really enjoyed it. And you, too. You have a safe race, too.
Thanks so much. Everybody, we're going to be back with segments 5 and 6, prepping the Open Championship. I'm Jay Flemma. You're listening to Jay's Plays on the Golf News Net Radio Network.
We're at the end of another great Jay's Plays show, but thank you all so much for joining in. It's no fun doing this to an empty room, but it sure is fun doing it for all of you guys, so thanks so much. I want to thank Fish for kindly letting me use their great music as a theme song for the show. Thanks, guys. I want to thank CyberGolf and Golf News Network, cybergolf.com/writerscorner, including me and all the other fine writers, and thegolfnewsnet.com/radio. Take us home, DJ Q.
Tune in next time for another great Jay's Play show on the Golf News Net Radio Network.
Thanks, guys. Catch y'all next time.